This is another one of the FAQ boos that I do when people send me questions, and I want to basically publish them online in case anyone else has the same questions, which is often the case. These are questions that often recur. This is about paywalls, so I'm just going to go dive straight into them. First one is about the Times and the Sunday Times going behind a paywall in July. Do I think this was a successful move? The simpler answer is I don't know whether it was a successful move, because like pretty much most people, I do not have access to the figures, and it's a very complicated situation. It's not as simple as the actual numbers of people who are reading the articles. This is about a commercial strategy, not a readership strategy. So I don't know if it was a successful move. So the second question is, do I believe it can survive? Well, yes, I do think that the Times and the Sunday Times can survive. Why? Because they have so far, and they have survived through incredible periods of losing money. Most of the time, the Times doesn't make any money. So, you know, the big question is it losing enough money, or is it not losing so much money that it makes it unsustainable? Clearly, the Times is worth more to Rupert Murdoch than the bottom line in terms of how much it brings in. Otherwise, he would have closed it down long ago. It obviously provides political power. It provides access, influence, all kinds of things. You know, why do most people own newspapers and certainly national newspapers? It's not a lot of them make profits. So I do believe it can survive. You only have to look at The Independent, which has been in a terrible state for a number of years, and you have someone like Lebedev coming along who is quite prepared to sustain further losses because of presumably other advantages that he sees through owning a paper. And in some ways, you could see owning a paper as being similar to owning a football club. There are, you know, you're pouring money into it, but there is status and there are all kinds of other advantages. So yes, I do think it can survive. Question three. How do I think other papers will respond to what the Times has done? Do I think all newspapers will eventually go down this route, and why? Well, I think other newspapers will respond by watching, by seeing what the bottom line is that comes out of it. Because, as I said, this is more complex than just how many people are actually accessing the newspaper. We know, and we always knew, that the numbers of people reading the Times online would be dramatically reduced when a paywall was put in place. But that's just a small part of the equation. First of all, you have more data about those readers, so you can sell more expensive advertising, if you like, per reader. So you can make more money per reader, but if you have fewer readers, then there's a calculation there in terms of whether it compensates for that. Secondly, and I think this is probably the main reason that the Times introduced the paywall, you are protecting your print numbers. So people who might go online to read your newspaper for free rather than buying a copy may now buy a print copy. Now, you lose a strategic advantage in terms of being able to plan for a future when no one buys print newspapers, for example, or a lot fewer people buy print newspapers. But that's one of the strategic motivations behind the paywall move. So I guess, you know, I guess all those things add up to a whole mix of factors that other publishers are going to be looking at. I think the Telegraph have already said that they're going to, or there's been news leaked that the Telegraph are looking at this area. And a number of publications are talking about it. I think a number of other publications will experiment with paywalls in some capacity. The key thing is how it's executed, how you actually do this. You know, I think there's a world of difference, for example, between the Times approach, which is simply to bring a big wall down and charge for everything, and not necessarily to change the content that you are producing accordingly. I think there's a big difference between that and, for example, what the New York Times appears to be planning, which is allowing people to read some articles to gain access to content depending on how they've come across that content, whether it's through links and so on. And you have other publications which will charge for premium content, but, for example, commodity information like general news, they will give away for free. So, you know, I think all publishers are looking at different ways to charge for some sort of content or some sort of platform for that content. So The Guardian, for example, are looking at charging for their iPad and iPhone apps on an ongoing basis, a kind of a regular payment rather than a one-off payment, which is the case at the moment. And, you know, I think these are all perfectly valid ways of doing it, but you know, we shouldn't rule anything out. But I do not think that all newspapers will eventually go down this route, to answer the second part of your questions, because there will always be an advantage for some newspapers that have sheer big numbers. So, for example, The Guardian is very well positioned and ideologically inclined not to put up a paywall. So The Guardian stands to, for example, it's already benefited from The Times going behind a paywall in terms of the numbers visiting its website. If the New York Times paywall goes up, there's a strong chance that The Guardian could be the number one English language news website in the world. And that's a position that you wouldn't necessarily want to abandon. Apart from the ideological inclination that information should be free, that democratic information, that information has a democratic value. So I don't think all newspapers will go down this route. And then you look at Lebedev's inclination towards free newspapers. You know, there's always going to be a trade-off between scale of market and targeted markets. The Guardian is going for scale. The Times is going for a very targeted approach. And those are both commercial strategies which have got a very long history. Final question, do I think print will remain or will online take over? Well, this is another frequently asked question that I think is has a straightforward answer, which is I think print will remain. Print has obvious advantages unless newsprint becomes so expensive that that it is economically, you know, unviable to publish using newsprint. You know, I think that there's always going to be a place for print, and I think that's a no-brainer. You know, you only have to look at how it's responding to previous challenges. You only have to look at how long its history is, and you only have to look at how magazines are seen as a kind of a luxury item, and magazines have been relatively protected, and you can see print in both in terms of newspapers and magazines surviving because of the rich experience that you get with that, and one of the things that some newspapers are having to adapt, just as they have in the past, is how can we play to those strengths, how can we make it richer? And it may be that that's a more analytical approach, it may be that it is published with less frequency, it may be that it is distributed in places like public transport where you're just giving it away for free and you're tapping into that kind of portability and disposability of print. So there's all kinds of advantages to print. I think it will be around for a long time yet.